You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm your host, Tracy Ross. I'm joined in the studio now by Kate Lochte, and we're pleased to welcome Commonwealth Attorney Mark Blankenship to Sounds Good. Good morning, and thanks for being on the show.
Great to be here.
Smoking gun kind of presages what our topic is, and I must say that I was prompted to holler at you to come speak with us by John Wright's article about the recent bomb threats at Callaway County High School, and your comment about how perhaps juveniles involved in this kind of thing have no idea what a life-changing event it is and how pranks are no longer just to be excused after a good talking to. So, you know, obviously we can't talk about the juvenile involved in this particular incident, but if a kid decides to make a call to threaten anything at a public place, what are the consequences?
It's serious. Since 2001, the law in Kentucky has made it a C felony. So, I mean, a C felony is 5 to 10 years in the state penitentiary. So that ought to get your attention. I mean, and it's the realities of the world we live in now. Every one of these threats have to be taken seriously. You know, it's not the boy crying wolf thing. You know, I mean, you literally have to go and make sure there is not a bomb in the school. And it just creates a level of anxiety there for all the people who are worried about our children. And parents are, you know, you can imagine, because they're thinking, well, heck, it happened in these other places. Maybe it could happen here in Murray. And so everybody's on edge. And then you have this huge response from almost, it's a hands-on approach from almost all of our law enforcement people and our fired people. And so you're taking up all the valuable time of these people to come out to a school, and we have to bring in a dog, you know, an animal that can sniff it out. And then they've got to cover every square inch of the school. And so you can just imagine the manpower that's wasted here. And then the, again, the anxiety that it brings to parents and school administrators and teachers. You know, to try to put up a deterrent to so people not to do this, you know, that's why the law is the way it is. So if it's just, you think it's some kind of, it's cute and funny and a prank, and now we get to just disrupt the whole school day and everybody gets to go across the street or something. You know, what they've just done is commit a major felony, and there's going to be serious consequences to it. Because if we just brush it off in what we do, say, well, it's just a kid, nobody got hurt, forget it, it's just going to bring more of that.
Now, a pretty interesting element to the scenario is if someone knows someone is going to call in or has an intent to do something like this and calls, that person must identify the would-be perpetrator, or else that person who's notifying authorities will also be in trouble.
Yeah, if you overhear somebody say something like, you know, tomorrow, I've had it with this school, tomorrow I'm going to blow it up. And the person that overheard that then they report it. Then they're being a good citizen at that point, you know. But when the police then respond to that person, they have to identify who made that comment. If they say, oh, well, that's a friend of mine, and I don't want to get involved, but I did hear this. Well, see, that's a problem. Because if it doesn't happen, how do we know that the person that reported it isn't using that as a scheme to have the whole thing happen? And so if you're going to report it, you got to be 100% open about it and say, it was John Doe. I heard him. He said he's had it with his school, and tomorrow he's going to do something. So then that gives the police a chance to go see him, get search warrants. We can go find out, does he have a weapon of mass destruction? You know, we can react. But if they're going to say, well, I just wanted you to know about the threat, and I'm not going to tell you who made it, then they're not helping us at all. And in fact, we're going to have to go through the whole process now based on that.
So the consequences for the reporter who does not identify the perpetrator, those consequences are?
It could be the same. It, you know, if it turns out that we don't have anything, that person could be looking at the same C felony.
My gracious.
Yeah.
Explain the degrees of terroristic threatening according to law.
Right. The worst kind is the kind we dealt with here locally, where it's at a public school where we've got hundreds of children. So any kind of a school setting, a college setting, kindergartens, any sort of public or private school, vocational schools, any government sanction, you know, like a courthouse, that would qualify. So those are the most serious. If you intentionally make a false statement that there's going to be a weapon of mass destruction of some kind used in those kind of settings, that's the C felony. Now, terroristic threatening in the second degree takes it down a notch where you're really not threatening the entire school. There's this individual that's the target. I'm angry at a coach or at a principal or at another student or something of that nature, and a threat is made that person is going to be hurt or killed on a particular occasion. That is terroristic threatening second degree. And then the third degree is when there is a threat. We're not talking about a school setting of any sort now. We're just out in the general public. And I send a message and communicate that I plan to hurt somebody. I'm angry with somebody. And I've made it clear that I'm going to do something. And if that threat is communicated, that's a crime. You know, I mean, we can joke each other and say, "I'm gonna kill you," you know. And you know, I'm sure spouses get to saying things like that. But if you say it and mean it, then you do create a level of anxiety and fear in another person. That's, and society doesn't want that. We shouldn't be talking to each other like that. And you know, and we have to take all these things seriously. Now, even my own little 6-year-old boy, we had to take him down to the police station because he made a statement to another little boy at school that he was going to do something, I don't know, some kind of cartoon character or whatever. I'm going to, you know. They were talking fighting of some nature. And that even just to say that now, even a 6-year-old is to be, that's to be explained to by a law enforcement officer. Parents are required to take their children
to
the police station. I'll never forget walking Bailey in there. Of course, he sort of understands what I do, but he's looking up at me and we're walking in there. He says, "Daddy, do you know these people?" I said, "Yeah, I know these people, but son, you can't use that kind of language. You know, even when you're playing, how did the other child know that you're just playing? And then if that child becomes afraid of you, that's a form of bullyism. And we just can't use words like that." So, I mean, the police officer made it clear to him that, you know, don't talk like that. If you keep talking like that, you're going to spend more time down here with us.
Goodness. So, a little guy, six
yeah,
years old.
Yeah.
What did he say when he was through?
He's ready to go. Yeah, I think he realized it, though. I could tell he got serious, and he understands it. And a lot of kids now, that's a good thing going on now, these anti-bully programs and getting them to realize that you've got to be careful with your words.
What's the best advice for parents? I mean, it's sort of hard to say, okay, go tell your kid not to call in bomb threats. You know, if the kid has never thought
right
about it. I mean, it seems to be opening up a topic of conversation. But again, in today's world, should parents go ahead and take that jump and
oh,
say,
yeah,
hey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think as parents, we really ought to get our children involved in public events. You take the Boston Marathon, we've tried to tell this little 6-year-old, you know, what happened there. And after he thought about it, he said, "Well, I'm glad we weren't there." You know, I mean, that was his response. I'm glad we weren't there, Daddy, you know. And so when you can show events like this that are really happening in the world, then that's why, you know, we don't even pretend about a bomb. You know, you would never say, I hit a bomb in there. Even if you think that's funny or part of a game, you know, we've got to get across to our people, our young people, that any talk like that in today's world has to be considered serious, and it has to be thoroughly checked out. Because the first time we let up, something like this might really happen. And so we have to be diligent. And if you make a threat like that and you think it's some kind of joke, it's actually, you've committed a major crime that could be life-changing. Back to that point, maybe John Wright.
Well, I want to ask you about that again as we wrap up, and that is, when you say life-changing, if you're convicted and you have a 5 to 10 year sentence, what happens when you complete your sentence? What's life like after?
Oh, you have a, in today's world with the internet and background searches, when you go to try to get a job nowadays, there's nothing to it. They can find out about your record. We have social media, and you know, a lot of people make major mistakes by putting silly things on Facebook and other things that reflects poorly on them. And so, you know, you get yourself where you're not employable. I mean, would you want to hire somebody that's made a bomb threat? And in your organization, I mean, nobody would want anybody to work with them if they've got the capability of doing something that's, you know, that's silly and that damaging. So, you know, you come out of that, you've got a permanent felony record. Nobody's going to want to hire you, and you're just going to have a heck of a hard time just surviving, just paying your bills. It's just you know, you want to have a record that's devoid of things like that.
Now, in the juvenile system, are there different penalties if a juvenile really shows remorse? I mean, is that person treated differently?
Yeah. First, I need to, you know, juvenile court is in our district court. So our district judge is the one that makes the decision whether or not a case comes out of juvenile court and goes into adult court, which would be circuit court. So our district judge will make the decision whether this juvenile that made these threats is going to be coming up to the circuit court where I would be the prosecutor. So if he thinks he'll look at the law, and there are a lot of factors for the district judge to consider. One is he's looking at the maturity level of this youngster, his age, and his mind, his state of mind when he did this. And the younger, of course, the more likely it will stay as a juvenile. But people that are 14, 15, 16 years old, 17, they can commit crimes that are so serious that it's said, well, you're doing an adult thing, so you're going to have to be treated like an adult. And so the district judge bumps it out of juvenile court and throws the case on up to circuit. Now, I don't know where that is in the process. I don't, you know, I'm not involved in that in any way. Mm-hmm. I do know that it's my understanding that the young person involved in this bomb threat was immediately taken to the detention center in Paducah. We don't have one here in Callaway County. So, I mean, he's incarcerated, but he's in a juvenile detention center. Now, just look at the change in his life just overnight. Just from doing this silly little prank, he's now not sleeping in his own bed. He's not with his parents. He's just not in the world that where he used to be. So it's already life-changing to him. And now the question is it going to even get worse? Now, mm-hmm. He can stay in the juvenile detention center until he's 18. You know, there'll be a lot of options on the table down in the juvenile court. And the prosecutor in the juvenile court would be the county attorney. And so the Commonwealth attorney doesn't doesn't participate in those cases. So it'll be totally up to them. But if they if at some point they think this is an adult, this should be treated like an adult case, then I'll be contacted.
Mark Blankenship is Commonwealth Attorney, and I think it would be fair to say that if anyone wanted you to speak frankly to kids or with parents, you'd be glad to.
Absolutely. It's a full-time job as Commonwealth Attorney, and we don't have trials every day, thank goodness. So a big part of my job is just getting, you know, the public, getting information to the public. That's why I almost always respond to any media question, because I feel like part of my job is to get the information out there. So, yeah, I would gladly go and speak in any setting where I could have a chance to look at kids and look at them square in the eye, you know, and say, do not do this.
Amen.
Do not do this.
Amen.
<You know?
laughs> Thank you for being with us today.
Hey, yeah, glad to be here. Thank you.